everyone. This is Margaret Gray, and here is a hip-hop track guaranteed to get lots of tune out.
Wait, what does that mean? Well, you know what it means, huh?
Listen to this, Phil. This is guaranteed to get nothing but tune out. Police
pull up. I like this. This is YG.
No, I assume you like it, Phil. We already know that.
Oh, for God's sake, Henry. This got the N-word all over it.
That YG is pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good, even though it's got an N-word in it.
Well, since when do you care?
Shut up!
All right, fine. YG, who do you love? Along with Drake, who's on everybody's... everybody's a hip-hop slash rap track these days. And I just was reading an article an article about Drake and Macklemore, who does, White Walls and... What else does he do?
Who are you talking about?
Yeah, talk about Macklemore.
Yeah, Macklemore does that same song, Same Love.
Yeah, Same Love.
Buddy named Young JB, and now you know the deal. We turned up in the studio late night.
All right. Thanks a lot, Drake, and all the guys. Welcome to the program. Anyway, that chap there, Drake, was... Macklemore apparently said during the Grammys... I didn't know any of this because I don't... I didn't watch the Grammys.
You know what, Phil? There comes a time you're going to have to start watching the Grammys and getting involved. You know that the Emmys are coming up?
Yes, I know the Emmys are coming up, and we'll watch the Emmys. If nothing else, to see, I hope, Harry Shearer win a much-deserved... Harry Shearer is so talented,
Now, Harry Shearer, for those of you that don't know, Harry Shearer was in The Credibility Gap. Harry Shearer was in Spinal Tap. Harry Shearer is an actor of some, of some note
Before The Credibility. He was a child actor.
Who's a Harry? What's his name?
Harry Shearer.
Yeah, Harry Shearer on Spinal Tap.
Yeah, he was in Spinal Tap, and he's been in Mighty Wind, and he's been in, was he in Best in, yes, Best in Show? I think he was in Best in, yeah. And For Your Consideration is another good one. But Harry not only is a funny man and a terrific comic actor and a great voiceover guy, he's bright as hell. You don't want to get into it with Harry on any political topic because he will take your ass outside and leave you where he finds you.
Well, so you're saying that, and Harry is very liberal, isn't he?
Very liberal. And he will take you outside and dump you in a dumpster and just stand there, light a cigarette, look up and down the alley for the garbage man, and then when he sees it backing up and he hears the ee, then he'll turn around and go back into the kitchen and get to those pots. Now,
well, boy, what a backward slam that is.
No, it's not. I'm just giving the whole mafia hit thing. So Harry's up for an Emmy as the best voiceover character actor. Whether or not that is divided between comedy and drama, I can't imagine that it is, because what voiceover... Although you do have narrative, or narration, you know?
Well, what are you talking about, sir?
Yeah, you'll have to be clear about it.
Yes, sir, I certainly will be clear about it.
He's talking about the narration, right?
Yes, Margaret, thank you.
Well, all right. So, like the guy you were talking about, a guy here the other night, Peter Thomas...
Yes. I was talking about Peter Thomas, who is a very well-known voice. Very, very well-known voice. You guys would know him in an instant. He is now 90 years of age, and yet Peter is still the voice. I'll tell you what show he's the voice on. He's the voice of Forensic Files. You ever see this?
Yes, I have. I've seen that on Headline News. Excellent. And I like Peter Thomas. He has that very earnest and very youthful sound.
He does. Peter Thomas has a tremendous set of pipes, still going strong at 90. And his voice is as youthful sounding as ever. You should hear, when you take care of your voice, you can sound like you're still... He sounds as if he's in his 30s. Seriously. And he's 90. He's a World War II veteran. He was in the Battle of Hurtgen Forest. He was a part of the American forces that liberated Norhausen, I think it was, or Nordhausen, the concentration camp. He could have had a deferment to be a part of Armed Forces Radio during World War II, and he declined that. He wanted to join an actual infantry outfit and go and fight, and he did. I don't know if he was at D-Day. I think he was. I know he was at the Battle of the Bulge, the Ardennes Offensive. So here's a guy. He's got Bronze Stars. He has all of these campaign ribbons. He comes out of World War II. He was an announcer before the war. As a young man, he became an announcer in radio at the age of 14. When they said they couldn't pay him, he said, okay, well, then I'll take it out in trade. And so the radio station's owner's wife would visit his house. I'm kidding.
Oh, my, what a disgusting joke.
I'm joking, okay?
Jesus H. Christ, Henry. The guy was 14. You run afoul of child... Well, what is it? Is it the child labor laws?
Yeah, pretty sure it's child labor laws.
It ain't child labor laws. It's sexual molestation, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's, you're right, I forgot.
Child labor laws.
So, in other words, it's not a... Forget it.
Well, I didn't know.
No. You're not going to go to jail for working a kid too hard because he's having sex with your wife. You're going to go to jail for some much more.
Get a load of it. You know, Phil, you got to slow down.
Why don't you slow down for much, much more than just that? So, Peter Thomas is another example of a great voiceover voice. But we're talking about...
What do you mean by a voiceover voice? Is there such a thing? I know this is a stupid question. Is there a voiceover face or...
No, voiceover. A great voiceover.
Slow down, Mr. Ernie. Slow down. Get some water.
You guys get me going so fast here, man. You make me nuts. I can't even breathe. I'm swallowing the wrong way. I'm swallowing and it's going out my eyes. You know?
Yeah, you're all in a heap, aren't you?
Yes. So, Phil Hendry here with General Galen Shaw, retired, as well as Margaret Gray.
Good morning.
And Bud Dickman.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Tomorrow's the BSP only show.
Right, exactly. And Robert Leonard.
Yeah, my Aunt Mavis is going to be on today.
Yes, Mavis Leonard should be on today. I don't know. Oh.
Yeah, well, you got to get that guy Jerry Markham back. You've been butchering that six ways to sunset.
You're right. Jerry Markham is due back to talk about Ferguson, Missouri, where things have chilled considerably, or I should say cooled out considerably, or perhaps I should say calmed down considerably. Oh, hell, I don't know. So anyway, good luck to Harry Shearer on Monday during the Emmys. What else is going on here? We have our BSP-only show tomorrow, and it's a three-day weekend, right, Bud?
Yeah, it's going to be a three-day weekend. Mr. Henry going to be on a vacation.
Right. I'm going on vacation and taking a few days off to take a look at the lay of the land, try to get my bearings, figure out what it is I want to do. Now, here's the thing I don't know, man. Should I do this? Because we're going to have Don Berman here in a minute to comment on this. And I believe it might be important. I will play a little bit of it. It is Don Lemon and it is Talib Kweli. It was an interview. I played this during the pre-show. I played it unedited during the pre-show, you know, for our listeners. Lemon and Talib Kweli got into it yesterday. Don Lemon is the anchor, and he was, quote, on the ground there in Ferguson for CNN, where he still is. Talib Kweli is a hip-hop artist, a rapper of some note. We have played his music here on the show. And, you know, it's kind of that romantic thing. It's a little bit more of a hip-hop thing as opposed to...
Well, what do you mean a hip-hop thing as opposed to that? I thought that the same... God damn.
Well, it is the same. Rap, straight rap is just rapping, and hip-hop is more of a hippity-hop, right?
Yeah, that's it. It's...
Well, Phil, don't dismiss me as if I'm some lame-ass right off the spaceship.
Yes, you're right. It's hip-hop, I would say, has more musicality involved than rap. So there is a little bit of singing that goes on and so on and so forth. Where the hell is it, Bud? I wanted to play a little bit of this cat's music just so nobody's looking at me like I'm a freak on wheels.
Well, I mean...
We were playing it earlier. Here he is here. This is a thing called Come Here, Talib Kweli. And anyway, he was out talking to Don Lemon in Ferguson.
Yes, and it was quite contentious.
Yeah.
Well, this is the kid that was in it. You know, you said that you agreed with this Talib Kweli kid. I agree with you. I think that Don Lemon, how could you ever think Lemon was in the right?
I thought Don Lemon was giving him due, and when I listened to it again, I realized, no, he wasn't. He kept on.
Don Lemon's a motor mouth from way back. If that clown ever interviewed me, I'd say, tell you what you do, Don. Why don't you go back in the makeup trailer and put your skirt on?
All right, take it easy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you seen Don Lemon?
And by the way, Don, you're wrong. Don, could you turn that garbage down, please? I love that music, by the way.
Yeah, that's Margaret's...
Don't you dare say I'm disingenuous. I like that music when I'm not talking.
Right.
Don Lemon's... You do pronounce your name, Don. Don Lemon. And Don said, people call me Don Lemon and they're wrong. Well, no, they're not, Don, because I've studied the French. And I've also asked myself how I'd say it. People aren't going to understand this.
Go, no, no, I want people to hear this.
Well, the more I talk, the more of the back end of a horse... No.
Margaret believes that when she hears that name, if it sounds like it ought to be French to her, then that's what she's going to do.
No, I didn't say that. I sort of said that.
Anyway, let's watch and listen, if you will, to just a tad bit of this interview between Don Lemon and... you know, but what are you doing, bud?
Gotta turn out a thing down.
God damn, man. You know what? I could really use an engineer around here right about now. Whew, brother.
What?
That's exact. Where is it? Good job, bud. We just lost the interview.
What a... You two guys together wouldn't make one decent mental midget.
I already said that yesterday.
Yeah, you did. In fact, it was one of the better lines of the show yesterday. It might have been the funniest thing on the show yesterday. It might have been the only funny thing on the show yesterday. Okay, so it is time now for us to take a break. And when we come back, we will have the Don Lemon and the thing and all of that.
Speaking of a lemon, Henry.
All right, anyway, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And don't forget, on the 11th of September, we're going to be at the Irvine Improv for our third one-man show. And that is a show which will be called The World of Phil Henry. Truth is our bitch, an explosion of weird. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Here's Volbeat, an oldie beat goodie. I mean, an oldie butt goodie.
An oldie beat goodie.
Shit. Yeah. No? I'll bet you beat it.
We do. All right, here they are. Talib, or I should say Talib Kweli. And here he is with Don Lemon on the streets of Ferguson during their interview yesterday, which had a great many people considering this to be, you know, kind of out of control stuff.
Even Occupy Wall Street, without the people on the ground actually here, there is no story. Yeah. So as an artist, I wanted to put my money where my mouth is. I'm supported by the community. The community has been brutalized. I have a son that's Mike Brown's age. Mike Brown was in the hip-hop. It could happen to me. It could happen to you. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like it was important for me to be here and control the narrative because the media has been doing a horrible job of making sure that the stories get out in the right way.
Well, I don't. I disagree with that, especially with our coverage. I think that we've done really great coverage here, and people in the community are actually commending us on our coverage, saying that it's balanced.
Dang.
We've been telling the stories
of
young black men and their interactions with
police officers. I agree. I think this guy Lemon's a motor mouth.
Has been bad.
No, I don't think. I think what you're speaking about is intentions, and I don't think, you know, especially at an organization like CNN, I don't think the intention is to not be fair or balanced. But we live in a world that's
use fair and balanced. Huh?
By white supremacy, and that's the narrative of the narrative and language of the oppressors taking over. But CNN.com right now, you have a story up that says Ferguson calm until bottles fly. Well, that's inaccurate because I was there that night. You know what I'm saying? And that's not what happened. Well, and the first thing in the story it says is police chase down men.
Well, let me finish my point.
I was there right there with the article, the situation they're talking about, I was right there. That's what happened.
But
let me finish my point before you talk.
I want to address something you said.
We don't have to have an interview if I can't talk.
Lemon's a motor mouth.
Well, you're interrupting
saying
me.
That's
and telling
what
you, let me talk.
Where you were, and police say you're not seeing everything that happens that goes on. You can't see everything.
I'm only telling you my perspective. Can I finish telling you my perspective, and then you can respond? Because that's how you have a conversation.
You knock it off with a Lamar.
Well, let me just explain something. I would listen to you if you had the decency. Let me finish. If you had the decency to greet me.
I do have decency. I invited you.
You didn't have no respect for me.
You didn't invite me. Nicole invited me, first of all. You came up, you didn't even say nothing to me. You on your phone the whole time. You asked how to pronounce my name, and then you have no respect for why I am. So let me me finish saying what I have to say, or else I'm gonna leave.
Okay.
Either I can finish saying what I'm
okay.
at.
You have to say what you have to say.
I was
asking
from my perspective.
Go ahead.
All right, for what I saw.
I think you should have left.
That's what I'm saying to you.
Okay, and I was there on the ground. All right, that's not what happened. The CNN reports on your website says it chased men down. It chased men, women, and children down. Mm-hmm. The CNN report, the headline says, "Calm until bottles fly." They don't mention the bottles in the article. In the article, you read 5 pages, there's no mention of the bottles flying. I saw the bottle fly. You know when the bottle flew? After the cops told me they're going to blow my effing head off. After the cops, I'm not done. After the cops put on riot gear, put up their shields, and took their batons and lined up on the streets. And then when they got in a position, a bottle comes out of a peaceful protest. That don't make no sense.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is the headline should say is calm until the cops agitated the people.
Can I talk?
And that's what the headline should say.
Okay. So. We have addressed everything.
That's his opinion.
Please,
I think Don Lemon.
That's
well,
what you saw from
you
your
knock
position.
It off with the Lemon.
You're not seeing
I think,
everything.
All right, Don Lemon.
So
I think
position,
he's right.
Only article that you're
why don't you shut up and let him?
Is one
you tell me to shut up? That's your death warrant.
And also, it's a small part of 24 hours of news coverage.
You signed your own death warrant.
And I understand your anger.
Which is why I said it wasn't intentional.
As far as you saying me coming out, I have a job to do. What I'm doing on television is in this phone. I'm reading.
My wiener's stuck in a zipper.
Why you filthy?
Hey,
to greet you, say how you doing?
Did
I
say
you
right
now? No, you did not. I did. No, you didn't. That's
did
a lie.
Did I not?
No, you didn't.
You
we have no
hello?
Tape. No, you
yes,
didn't.
I did.
You skated by here, and I said hello to you, and you said, "Hey, what's up?" You didn't say my. You didn't do nothing.
I'm trying to get on the air. I'm working.
I'm working too.
Hello to you. I'm trying to be respectful to you to make sure that I say your name properly. People call me Don Lemon. If someone came on, I would say my name is Don Lemon. So I just want to make sure I'm respectful to you, so that I say your name properly.
So his name's not Don Lemon.
That's what he's been saying.
Very busy. Here. I'm not
that's
trying to disrespect you. I invited and CNN invited
you
me
think it's bullshit?
So we can have
I
this
know
conversation.
It is.
And I don't mind having this conversation happening. Sorry, man. I
don't
this
either.
Is what we should do. But we have to listen to each other.
Right, but the first thing you did that stopped this conversation from communicating.
Hang on, producers. I think this is very important.
Is you, while I was telling my perspective, you've been on TV all day. I'm in the streets and you out here and I commend you. I see you going through the same struggles as a black man that we all going through. And I commend you for being out here. Because a lot of people who talk are not out here. And I can tell from your passion, you're not just out here as a journalist.
Right.
However, the first thing you did when I'm telling my perspective is cut me off. And I'm telling you from my
I'm
like,
not
you,
trying
like
to
you
cut
correctly
you off.
Said, it's only my perspective.
Position,
that's all I can be
responsible for. Listen to me. I'm not trying to cut you off. I'm trying to
yeah,
address each point that you're giving so that nothing is lost in the sauce. So when you say something, I want to address one point. And then I'm going to stop and let you say something else. And then I'm going to address that point. I'm not trying to disrespect you. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to do get on television so that I can get you on.
That guy Lemon,
my job is to represent.
That Lemon's a real, he's a real Lemon, isn't he?
90 seconds
get
at
it?
Least
Lemon?
To speak when you ask me a question.
Yeah, that's great.
I know how this goes. For me to
you
answer, I got 20 seconds out. Let me say my piece first, and then we get
a
conversation.
Lick
so,
my
so for the past 2 minutes, right? The producers have been rapping.
All right, anyway, there you
go.
That's the essential thing there, man. Because we played the whole thing in the pre-show. And you can probably listen to it someplace else. But, all right, we'll go around the horn. What do you think, Bud?
Yeah, that Talib Kweli probably should have been given more because Don Lemon, you know.
Well, no, he's not getting the name right, Phil.
Thanks to you, you know.
How dare... Oh, it's my fault.
Yeah, you don't want to say I'm named Lamar.
Hold on. So, Bud?
What?
What do you think?
Yeah, I think Talib Kweli probably should have been given more of a chance.
All right, Robert?
Yeah, I agree.
Margaret.
No, I think Don Lemon was very respectful, and if you want to say the name Lemon, I think it borders on racist to say his name is Don Lemon, because it sounds like he's a big black lemon. That's what it's...
Am I next?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Phil, don't dismiss me like, oh yeah, well there goes, that's the one turd in the pile. You now, General. I think my point of view is very valid.
I'm not saying your point of view isn't valid, Margaret. I'm saying that you're off point again with this big black lemon thing.
I think he was treated badly by this Kubi or whatever his name is.
His name's... For the 15th time, we've been saying his name.
All right, General, what do you think?
I agree with you, and I think that this guy, Lemon, should have rolled it up, snapped it shut. I think he should have rolled up the sidewalk in his life and gone into the back of the van. And if he's got a pound, it, I don't know.
Oh, my God. So you're talking about a respected journalist going to the back of the news van and pounding the pipe.
Yes, I am. Because he wasn't just... Would you shut up?
Shut up, Bud.
Pound the pipe.
What a jab. Boy, Bud, when you laugh, you sound like one of those deficients that are howling behind a cage someplace.
All right. General?
That's all I want to say. I think that you're right. I think this guy, Lemon, should keep his big bazoo shut.
All right. Well, not a big controversy, but it was one that I thought was interesting. This took place right after we got off the air yesterday. The two of those guys going at it. I think here's the thing that I was saying, you know, during the pre-show. I think that the media coverage of anything, give it up, man. You're not going to change how they cover things. They're going to cover things in an unacceptable way. It's going to be too slanted for some people. It's not going to be slanted enough for other people. It's going to have too much of this and not enough of that for some people. And rather than bitch about it, because you're not going to change it, because it is the way the mass, the median intelligence being 12 years of age, it's the way the mass prefers to consume its news. News is a product now. It's not a, you know, information.
What do you mean by product? Yeah, you talk about being a product.
I mean, you can take news and you can turn it into anything you want. It's no longer just reporting objectively and factually about events happening. It's taking those events and packaging it and selling it to people as if you are saying, here is what happened in Ferguson. I'm the CNN guy. Look at how we deliver it. See how glossy and pretty? And then NBC comes along. Here's what happened in Ferguson. Look at how we package it. See how neat and cute and tidy? And then Fox comes along. Here's how we Fox packages it from the perspective that it's all Obama's fault. CNN packages it from the perspective perhaps of more of a working man point of view, I would say. Although I got to tell you, man, I've been watching both channels for a long time. I think CNN is far more objective.
Jesus Christ.
You kidding me or something? CNN's more, God, get out of here.
No, they're way more objective than Fox. Fox is the stupidest thing that I ever did see.
I would have to agree with you, Phil, to a point. To a point. I think that Fox is biased, but I think CNN is very objective. No, I didn't. CNN is very objective, and Fox is not objective, and so, yes, I do agree with you.
Well, that made a lot of sense. Jesus Christ, did you just hear what she said?
All right, hold on. Never mind. Let's just not...
By the way, Barbara Starr, I've been silent on Barbara Starr. I must say what I must say about Barbara Starr. While a lot of people have asked, what do you look like, Margaret? Yes, I bear a resemblance to Barbara Starr, only my hair is blonde. All right?
Yeah.
Blonde.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
However, in the morning when you look me full in the kisser, I don't have the stark, frightening, stone-chiseled look that Barbara Starr has. I smile. Ask my husband. Frank would tell you, in the morning when he stares into my face, he sees the face of radiance, of joy. He sees a face. That much is clear. What are you all staring at?
We're waiting for you to... Wait for you to get to the end of that.
Oh, is it that much of an endurance test, Phil?
No, Margaret, but you're saying Barbara Starr. Most people don't know who Barbara Starr is. She's a reporter on CNN.
What do you mean most people don't know who Barbara Starr is? Snorting in like that. Everyone does. She's been the longtime Pentagon reporter for the Pentagon, for the CNN. She's been at the Pentagon. I think she lives at the Pentagon.
Now, well, Barbara Starr is the Pentagon reporter, but that doesn't mean she doesn't go home at night. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but you're saying she sleeps there?
Well, the way she looks, yes.
All right, Barbara, what did I just call you, Barbara?
You didn't call me Barbara, did you?
Margaret, yes, I did, because you're telling me you look like her.
I said I don't have the stark-stared, chiseled kisser. Shit.
I'm sure that Barbara Starr goes home at night. What are you saying she sleeps there, that she looks like it?
She looks like she just got up off of a pile of laundry.
All right, that's enough of that. I think that the reporting of these two networks, whether it's Fox, CNN, or anything else, you're just going to have to give it up, man. It's going to be what it is, you know.
You know, there's one thing in this world I hate. It's when people say it is what it is. I want to take a guy and I want to throw him under a half track at going full speed.
All right, well, what I'm trying to say here is you can't change it.
Well, why can't you change it?
You're not going to change the way a guy does business. If he does business a certain way, and for him it's successful, short of some boycott, and we've seen consumer boycotts are not motivated by something as flimsy as a person being upset with the way the news is covered. A consumer boycott is motivated successfully, we've seen in the past, by human rights. And there's no human right at stake with badly covered news. What is at stake is the lifeblood of that organization. We, as consumers, we have a chance to change that.
Well, what Phil is saying is we can look online.
And Phil is saying we can go study it.
Is he allowed to interrupt me like
he... Hey!
Interrupt me?
I gotta.
Next time I cut the whole thing off.
Yeah, I know. Feed it to your goldfish.
You understand?
You understand, bud.
I understand.
We gotta keep doing that scene from Chinatown.
I thought, okay, it's China. Thank you. I said Chinatown yesterday. I apologize.
Yeah, if we gotta keep doing that scene from Chinatown, I think I'm gonna lose it! That's my Holly Hunter impression from Broadcast News.
Another relevant cultural example from Phil Hendry.
Yeah, where are you going, Jack?
Thank you. I'm getting closer, man. That was from the 80s. What do you want from me, Jack? It's all uphill or downhill. So this is my birthday. Now, my birthday is September the 1st, but this is going to be my birthday celebratory weekend because of different issues that are currently... in play. We have some work things going on. We've got some other stuff going on. I got another thing over here, another thing down there, another thing up there.
Well, that made a lot of sense. You look like... Jesus, you talk about a guy that's got dementia. You are going...
Phil is on the Phil TV camera, so he's demonstrating. He's being demonstrative for the viewers.
I understand that, Phil, but when you're going like that...
All right, General. While you sit there slopping down your cottage cheese and your vanilla pudding, or whatever that is, vanilla pudding... Is that what that is?
No, it's lemon. What a dumbass. It's lemon pudding. Excuse me, I gotta get some more, too.
Yeah, I'll get some, too.
It's delicious. Mmm.
So he just walked out while I was talking to him.
You got that right.
Anyway, so what was I saying?
You were talking about your birthday weekend.
Birthday weekend, yes, coming up. We will have a BSP-only show for you on Saturday. That's tomorrow. We will have a show for you on Monday, but just so you know, I will be... off. I guess I don't really have to tell people that, do I?
Well, you're letting people know it's your birthday. You could get,
Dude, might get something cute. Might get something cozy and cute in there.
Cozy and cute. All right, Don Berman's going to join us to talk about news coverage. I think it's an important issue that should be addressed, must be addressed, can be addressed somehow, or it should just get dressed.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk with Don Berman from Channel 19 News here in a moment. On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On September the 11th, we are going to be at the Irvine Improv for our one-man show, which is, of course, The World of Phil Hendry, Truth is Our Bitch, The Explosion of Weird. We've got tickets available for that show. It is a much bigger venue, twice the seating of the Hollywood Improv, so tickets available, but they're going to go, and you know the show's going to sell out, so get your ticket now. Back with Don Berman.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Autumnly Liquor, the sponsor of this portion of the Phil Hendry Show. Boy, I'll tell you something. If you're looking for that big 24-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, if you want to drink some of that Black Label, some of that Genesee, some of the Lone Star, the real rot-gut beers down through the years, Autumnly Liquors has them. That's right, we scrape the bottom of the Bottomly.
It's the Bottomly of the barrel at Bottomly Liquors.
The worst tequila, real rot gut. We specialize in grappa and other kinds of hillbilly moonshine. No matter what the country, no matter what kind of overalls, no matter what kind of squirrel gun, it's the Bottomly of the barrel at Bottomly Liquors.
Boop, 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 boop.
God damn, that's bad.
All right, there is our good close personal friends there. That is Woven War. Really good stuff, really good stuff. Congratulations, lads. I think it's good. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Let's go over here to Don Berman, who is at the Channel 19 newsroom right now, getting in there early. Don, I appreciate you getting out of bed every morning that we have you on. Not every morning, but getting out of bed early, because I know you just wrapped the news very late at night.
Yes, it is, Phil. As long as I'm on the air with you in the morning, I do take the opportunity to come here into Channel 19 News and to see what's going on.
What do you do when you come into a newsroom first thing?
Well, I take a look and see what news there is. I walk around and say hello to people. At this hour of the morning, not a lot of people. If you're asking me that question, why?
Just curious, just if you're coming in there and it's so long before you're actually due in.
Well, I come in and I look at the news.
Well, I think I know it, Don. You're talking about how there's a very low recognition level there. You mentioned that to me once.
Well,
Well, I mentioned it to you once, but here again we have this problem where I can't say anything in confidence to people.
No, Don, you did not say that was in confidence. You didn't say that was off the record.
I didn't say it was off the record, assuming that it would be off the record.
It was a part of an interview segment I was doing with you.
I know that, but I didn't know that...
Well, so what happened? Does somebody want to say?
All right, I'll tell you. I told her that when I come in here early in the morning, nobody knows who I am because I work late at night. And part of the problem of that is this guy, L. Ron Martin, who's taken over the management and ownership of the station. He keeps the two staffs so segregated. I've won Emmys. I've worked here for 35 years, and nobody on this morning crew knows who I am. Look at this. Guy just bumped into me. Excuse me, I'm Don Berman. Oh, you do know. No, and I find that, but for Margaret to publish that, oh my God.
I did not put that in the written interview that I published, Don.
Well, then why are you saying it now?
I'm sorry.
Margaret, you know, Don, we apologize. We don't have to keep talking about it. I doubt seriously whether it's going to go viral.
Well, but people have now heard that I walk in here and no one, I might as well be some bum that's come in here with a tin cup. When I walk into the newsroom in the morning, I'll give you an example here. You know what? L. Ron Martin, who is not here because he does sleep in, if you're listening, L. Ron, how you doing? My name is Don Berman. My name is Don Berman. May you help me? Yeah, I'm the nighttime anchor. You know what? Fuck it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that to you. So, excuse my language, Phil.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that.
Well, you know, I was here to talk to you about Ferguson, Missouri, and Margaret outs the fact that I walk in here in the morning, and people would just as soon call the police and say that there's someone who has walked in here that they don't know and quite frankly, don't trust. They would just as soon do that as say, excuse me, may I help you? So that's the reality of my life.
You know, Don, every time I talk to you, you are an Emmy winner. You are a guy that's been at that station longer than anybody. You are a guy who's gone through quite a few personal problems, and Channel 19 has kept you in their employ. And before you start yelling at me...
Well, that is wrong.
No, before you start yelling at me, you know it's true from sexual misadventures to drugs to alcohol. You know it's true, and that has been publicized.
I know it's been publicized. Get a load of him. I know. Hey, General, how do you like this guy? I know it's been publicized.
Hey, Phil, that stuff's been publicized. He did a feature on it.
Right, I did a feature on it. Do you love this guy? I know it's been publicized.
All right, you stop looking for the co-pilot of your little sarcasm ship here with General Shaw. The fact is that you have gone through a lot.
Hey, well, what even the co-pilot of my sarcasm ship? Phil, I have been at Channel 19 News.
I know, for 35 years, and you here, and nobody knows who you are.
I walk in here in the morning before 5 o'clock. Actually, I come in here to prepare for the news at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Before 2 o'clock in the afternoon, no one around here knows who I am. I'm talking on a cell phone at the top of my voice. I just had a guy walk by and say, whoever you are, could you keep your voice down? I just walked. Here's another. How are you, young lady? Now, here's a real... Who is this? This is a new intern. How are you? I'm Don Berman. Do you know who I am? Fuck. So, I'm sorry, Phil.
What's the F?
Well, did you see what just happened?
I saw what happened, yeah. I mean, I heard what happened.
We didn't see it, Don. This is audio only.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know something, Don? If people don't recognize you, that's your own cross to bear. That's got nothing to do with the rest of us. We're here to talk about Ferguson.
Yeah, exactly. And thank you, Margaret, for bringing us back on point. Ferguson, Missouri. What's going wrong there? What's going right there for the media, Don?
Well, I think what's going right there for the media is everyone knows who Don Lemon is, or however they know who he is.
Your sarcasm has been duly noted, Don.
Everyone knows my name is Don Berman. You know, how about that? Will that get me some love? There's Don Lemon.
This isn't about you, if you don't mind. Could we make it about Ferguson?
Yeah, all right, fine. What's your question?
How do you think the media coverage is going there?
I think it's going fine. I saw the interview there with Talib Balloon or whatever.
His name was Talib Cooley.
What?
You didn't see it, huh?
Yes, I saw it. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, which is something else, by the way. He got upset with Don Lemon or Lemon or Lop. You know, I'm telling you, I'm losing my patience with this.
Nobody is telling you to pronounce his name any other way than Lemon. Don Lemon pronounces his name that way. Margaret's the one that introduced this whole thing.
I know, Margaret said Lemon, but now I want to say it because I think it sounds better. And frankly, I would like to be known as Don Berman. See, here's the thing. I don't have any real recognition beyond the Channel 19 demographic and audience, which is very non-transient. Everyone stays put. So I've got a whole, my numbers in old ladies are through the roof. I've got a demographic, 75 plus females. I'm number one in L.A. Do you think that makes me happy?
Well,
do you think it makes me happy? Yes or no?
No.
You, hey, give the man a cigar. No, it doesn't.
Look at Lamont or Berman or Berman or whatever.
Did you call me Lamont?
I was going to call you Berman, which is the name you... If that's the if you're number one with old ladies 75 plus, why don't you live in that, luxuriate in it, and build on that?
Build on what? Oh, are you loving this? I got to build on what? A stack of dead bodies? Because that's what that is.
My God, what a cruel and stupid thing to say.
Well, wait a moment. I've got a career here.
Look at Don, this is not about your career. This is about the coverage going on in Ferguson, Missouri.
You almost said Minnesota. Fuck me.
Miss Annie's pissed.
Yeah, you do look angry.
Yeah, well, yeah, I am angry.
Well, you look at, I agree with you. The guy shouldn't have hung up like that.
Well, and he's been dropping F-bombs left and right. And you know what, Don? If you are going to be on... Did he call back?
Yeah,
Don.
Yeah, I might as well call back than listen to you go into a speech because, God, there are too many things in this world, Phil, that are much worse than that. Look, and I apologize for dropping the F-bombs. I apologize for making this about me and not about Don Lemoon or Lamone or whatever.
It's not about Don Lemon or Don Lemon. It's about Ferguson and what you think of the coverage there. Now, to the extent that you have been disrespected by your crew there, no one knows who you are before 2 o'clock in the afternoon when you walk into the Channel 19 newsroom. I'm sorry for that. We do, and that's why we have you on the air.
Yes. What about that, Don? What about the fact that we are making an effort at getting your name out there into the marketplace, into the public world?
Well, I do appreciate that, all right? I admit that I've been probably hasty, so I do appreciate that, Phil. But you've got to understand, you walk into a place you've worked for 35 years, and I walk in here before 2 o'clock, and people think that I'm there to repair the Xerox. But I had this young lady here say to me, oh, the Xerox machine's over there. We need that one fixed and that one fixed. And then come back to me when you're done. And I said, I turned around and I walked back out to my car. I got into the driver's side. I leaned my head into the wheel. And it hit the horn. And the horn went off as I was leaning into the wheel, trying to restrain a sob. But I didn't know that I was leaning into the wheel. And so there was this deafening horn going off in the parking lot at Channel 19. And when people came out, they thought that I had been either had a heart attack or I'd been shot. And I heard one of the interns say, it's Don Berman. Most likely someone gunned him down, probably a husband. And then when they opened the door, they realized that I was just, I was sobbing. And
You heard all of this?
I heard all of what?
Did you hear the person say it's Don Berman, he's probably been shot?
Yes, I did. Of course I did.
And you didn't react? What did you do?
I was weeping into the wheel of the... What did I do? I was crying!
I'm sorry, Don.
Yeah. Yo, Mr. Berman, God, man, you gotta act like a man.
Yeah, I got a man up there, Mr. Berman.
Look, Berman, I understand there's gonna be an emotional moment.
No, wait. Who was the one that just told me to man up? Is that Dickman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good, man. That's a strike. That's right down the middle, right into the fat part of the catcher's bit. Him saying to me that I got a man up. I'll have you know, Dickman, that I've been places and done things that you can't even imagine, it, no matter how many trees your head goes through.
That's dirty pool.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. So, Don, you know, you're there. You can be the eyes and the ears for us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in, well, you're not in Ferguson, but...
No, I'm not, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You could be our news contact, though, of the latest and what's going on. I'm sorry that you haven't been given respect, and I'm sorry that all of this has just sort of come down the way it has. And I know that you were...
Well, you were in the parking lot, and you said you wheeled around and went into the parking lot and sat down and then wept, and the horn went off. I didn't understand that.
What I'm saying is, after the young lady said to me, hey, you, we've got two Xerox machines in the back that need fixing, and that one there, and don't let me see you get coffee until they're fixed, I didn't say anything. I was stunned. I wheeled around. I'm Channel 19. My name isn't Channel 19. I work at the Don Berman. My name is Don... 19, goddamn.
Your name is Don Berman.
Yeah, my name is Don Berman. I work at Channel 19 News. And to walk into a newsroom and have this, and she was very good looking. I mean, she was hot. She was hot. And I mean, a big, you know, everything. And she, and I thought, well, I'm Don Berman, Channel 19 News, right?
Yeah, you're in like Flint.
Yeah, in like Flint, and guess what? No can do. You go fix that machine like I was carrying someone's slop jars. So I went outside, I got into my car, I began to weep, my head leaned into the horn went off.
Didn't you hear the horn going off?
No, I did not. I was in an emotional funk. I was in a fog. I was in one of those things they call, what do they call that when your mind goes blank?
You passed out?
Yeah, only I didn't pass out. I passed in. I passed over. Something happened. And then they came out and they said, it's Berman. He might have been shot through the head by a jealous husband. Oh, no, wait a minute. He's breathing. And that's when I was pulled from the car. I laid there on the asphalt under the burning sun as someone called for water. Everyone walked away and I was left there. I was left there by myself, laying on the asphalt until Kitty came over. She's the accountant, and she had a Dixie cup full of water, and she said, "Here, Don." And I sipped it, and I looked around, and I realized no one was there. Everyone left and went back in, and I'm still laying flat on my back on the asphalt. And I said, "Well, I guess I've milked this for all it's worth."
What do you mean milked it? Did you pass out or didn't you?
No, I never passed out, but I was weeping.
He said he was weeping and he leaned his head into the wheel.
Oh, so you're laying on your back on the asphalt. Why?
Because I was feeling faint.
And so everybody, they gave you a cup of water and split, huh?
No, Kitty did. She's the accountant. Everyone had already left.
All right, so now you're by yourself laying on your back on the asphalt. Now what?
I got up and I went in and I got a cup of coffee and I leaned against a wall, pissed off. Is that enough for you, Phil? Because I'm going to go now. I could care less how they're covering things in Ferguson. I hope they never cover Ferguson. I hope Ferguson, the only Ferguson I want to know about is Ferguson Jenkins. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, he was a pitcher for the Cubs.
Wow.
Well, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. I didn't know you guys are dope. All right,
Don, thanks a lot for nothing.
Well, you know what, Phil? You bust my balls.
Thank you very, very much there, Don Berman, Channel 19 News, on what we thought would be a dissertation on the media coverage in Ferguson, Missouri, but unfortunately we didn't get that. We got instead the highlights of his emotional, whatever the hell it was, his emotional, his collapse.
Yes, his emotional collapse there at Channel 19.
Exactly. The world-famous Phil Henry Show here and philhenryshow.com. Do you know that on our website right now, you can get 50% off all digital downloads? If you head over to philhenryshow.com, you'll see a little banner that says all digital downloads 50% off. What does that mean? Bud Dickman. It
means 50% off.
Exactly. Phil fans, this week only every single digital download in our online store is 50% off. And I'll tell you something, no coupon code is necessary and no limits apply. No coupon code, no limits. Pick up the whole set and save some serious cash in our digital download section. Tech 9.
So we rip these scripts swiftly and zip through chips quickly. When the trash mail and pizza man see me, they get a fever and cheesy. When they see the man easy, I'm easily.
This is General Gavin Shaw. During the news that we have these days and through the coming months and years, oftentimes when you hear this hip-hop music, you feel frightened and weirded out. And you think that is if you're white. If you're black, perhaps you're just bored with it. We're here to tell you the Phil Henry Show, no color lines.
I'm top dog.
Good.
Who approved that copy?
I just made it up right now because I used to listen to The Beat. You got a big problem with that?
Well, I listened to The Beat too, and I...
Yeah, I listened to The Beat back in the 96, and that's what they used to say.
Wow, that's...
Oh, come on, Phil, don't give me that. Wow.
Well, The Beat, man, I love The Beat.
The Beat, Beat was the original hip-hop station in L.A. It was over there. I think The Beat is where KFAC used to be. You know, there was a time in, I don't mean to go down memory lane. Am I going to be boring people?
Well, slightly, but when's that, you know?
Oh, I see. When's that new, huh?
Well, Phil, you know what?
Phil, like you like to say, you tee it up. We'll put it on the green 280 yards out.
Yeah, okay. Coming up, we have Mavis Leonard, Robert's aunt, will be joining us to talk Some neighborhood news and different things. Other stuff that's happening in and around this marvelous world of ours. We have Mavis, and who else do we have, Bud? Is that it in terms of the guests?
Well, we also got Jay Markham.
Aha! Jay Markham is going to join us, too. And he will have some comments. Jay Markham from Austin, Texas.
No, that guy's, he had the surgery on the tongue.
Yeah, we get a guy on there. But get a good.
Just slow down, bud.
Get a guy with surgery on the tongue.
He'll be fine. He had surgery on his tongue. I understood him. I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
Well, the man, he sounded like he sounded as if he was stunned, like someone had just hit him with a baseball bat and he was looking to get his bearings.
Yeah, well, the guy's going blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you'd already told me that, man. I don't know what, I understood him, and if you can't, I'll interpret for you. Okay, let's see. All right, so we were mentioning the show, the one-man show, and then I mentioned earlier that we have our birthday weekend coming up, and we've also mentioned our digital download promotion, okay, all of that stuff, and we've been with Don Berman and the whole Ferguson thing. We played the Talib Kweli tape, so I think we're up to speed on the rest of it. What about this ISIS jazz, General?
Well, I don't know what Obama's going to do, but I think we ought to get in there with everything we've got and blow those miserable... Boy, I'll tell you what.
Oh, great. And we'll restart the whole Iraq war. When are we going to learn, Phil? When are we going to learn? There's a song that comes to mind.
Well, I don't know what...
No, there's a song that comes to mind for me, Phil. It's one that you know. We used to sing it on the show when the Iraq war was starting. And I think it goes... I think it goes accordingly to the emotions of the moment. Something like this. Where have all the flowers?
Dad!
I'm sorry. Where have all me?
You're going to sing Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
Yes, that's what I'm going to sing. Hold on. Was that meant for me?
Yes, it was just a joke.
Yeah, me.
I can't hit Phil, but I can hit you.
It was just a joke.
Well, I don't think it's funny. Someone singing Where Have All the Flowers Gone, and then some Aussie sad sacks sitting there with their bunker buster, and they're going, as I get blown into 5,000 bits, all covered in the latest fabric...
All right, sing your song, Margaret.
No, I don't feel like I'm going to sing. No.
All right, so she's not going to sing her song.
Well, here, I'll sing it. Where have all...
I'll do it. I don't want to hear you butcher it. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn?
All right, so...
And what was that?
Bowling alley. All right, that's very nice, Margaret. Where have all the flowers gone? From Margaret Gray.
Hey, you know, you can sing all that peacenik shit all you want, man. When we gotta bring the wood, we're gonna bring the wood. Don't worry about it.
That's what Frank used to say, too.
Yeah, I'll bet.
All right, thank you very much for that. Jerry Markham joining us now from Austin, Texas, where Jerry is actually in his... He's in his office, which is located there at Austin Bowl. Now, Jerry, I got to ask you something, man. I've never heard of an attorney having an office in a bowling alley, or are you just relaxing today? Oh, so you're just relaxing there and having a beer and maybe a sandwich? Okay, so he's having a beer. He's having a sandwich and not having a beer.
Hey, listen, Markham, this is Galen Shaw. Nobody can understand anything you're saying. You sound like a fumbling, stumbling, weird ass. What do you think about that?
Well, you don't want to be a hard,
He said that you can sound as hateful as you want. It doesn't matter to him. He's here to talk about a much more important issue, which is Ferguson.
So you're going to take the high road, huh? No one understands anything you're saying. You're mumbling and stumbling. You sound like you're underwater. I might as well call you Bubbles. Do you mind if I call you Bubbles?
He said that you can call him anything you want so long as you stick to the point, which is Ferguson.
All right, that's fine. Taking the high road is great, but I think General Shaw makes a very good point. Is your tongue wrapped in a bandage or something so that you cannot be understandable to anyone but Phil?
He said that his tongue is healing and it's difficult for him to talk, and he thanks me for interpreting. But if you're unhappy like the general, maybe you two ought to go out and get yourselves a malted milk.
And what is that supposed... God damn, what's that supposed to mean?
He said that it means exactly what you heard it say, or mean. I can't interpret exactly.
What is this guy speaking? Aramaic or something?
He said that, you know, don't raise your voice and don't get crazy. Let's keep our eye on the ball here. And the ball right now, he said, went down the alley and got a spare. He's waiting for it to pick that spare up, and then he'll start talking about what's happening in Ferguson.
And that's another thing. Henry is talking a blue streak, and I only heard you say a few things.
He said, listen, General, he honors your...
Oh, bullshit. This guy's not saying any of the stuff you're saying. It's taking too long for you to say...
It's taking him too long to say the stuff that it only takes...
No, it's taking...
I got it under control. Let me conduct the interview. First of all, what you need to do there, if you don't mind, Jerry, is get out of that bowling alley. Didn't pick up the spare?
No, wait, wait.
Can you move into the restaurant or something? Jerry, given the fact that you've had surgery on your tongue, it's difficult for people to understand. But so far, what do you think the legal case is in this whole Ferguson situation? All right, so he's saying that he thinks that the grand jury's testimony, you know, the grand jury has to come in with their decision, also the autopsy report, before anything can be... Where are you going?
I can't understand anything this guy's saying. I'm not going to sit here and be made a... You're not going to make some kind of a monkey out of me, friend. I'll tell you that right now. I can sit, cross my leg, and pick stuff out of somebody else's fur somewhere else. Excuse me.
And I second that emotion.
Well, Mr. Henry, I think that... You know.
So everybody's getting up and leaving, huh?
Yeah, I think that's stupid.
I don't understand a thing you're saying. Get out of here. All right, so that's Jerry Markham.
All right, so you hung up on him, huh?
Finally, yeah. I mean, look, I didn't know this cat was going to be in surgery and then come on this program with a whole line of you know, I'm doing the best I can.
Well, this guy, this is the second time you've had this guy on.
Look, Margaret, you got a good friend there in that Debbie Daly. Nobody can understand a word she's saying except for me. And we put her on the air a lot more than that guy.
Debbie Daly is a part of the broadcast firmament, not some blubbering, slobbering, I will say, slobbering attorney.
All right. Let's move on to something else. I can't take listening to this gobbledygook any longer. And I'm getting sick and tired, to be honest with you, of the of this continual coverage. You know, as I was saying, when it comes to the Ferguson coverage, man, it's all the same stuff. So you have to, what I was trying to say to you is you have to pick what is factual. You have to be smart enough to identify what's factual and be smart enough to throw the rest of that shit away, man, because there is a lot of that S-H-I-T, flying around out there. Okay, a week from this weekend is Labor Day weekend, so we're going to be taking off that Labor Day as well. But we're preparing for the one-man show on September the 11th, The World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch, An Explosion of Weird. And this is going to be a completely different show from the ones that you saw in Hollywood. We are not completely different. I shouldn't say that. It's going to be expanded. There's going to be a lot more elements. Some of the elements are going to be a lot shorter. Some are going to include far more interaction between the various characters in the presentation.
So you are then going to throw out all of the blocking advice you got from Horatio and his friend?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I'm not doing that at all. But I'm going to be bringing into it a lot more of our characterizations, and I'm also going to be leaning on improvising even more than I have. So, because I think that's the strength of what we do here on the air, and I think it's the strength of what we do in the show. So I can assure you that as we continue with the world of Phil Hendry, you know, truth is our bitch, an explosion of weird, this is going to continue to evolve and get and stretch the bounds of you know, what one man can do on a stage. And I'm not saying I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, but...
Maybe since canned beer or something like that, huh? You must think you... What, do you think you deserve one of them Oscars or something?
Maybe. What's with you, anyway?
Yes, General, you're very, very sarcastic.
I don't like having to sit here, hearing some guy going... Blah, 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 and then the other guy, that Berman... Boy, that Berman really frosts my ass, you know?
All right, well, that Berman is Berman. You know, what are you going to do?
What do you mean, Berman is Berman? Yeah, Berman is vermin.
Yeah, it's a good one. Berman is vermin. Yay!
Would you guys shut up before you get a call back from that guy? That I can't use, Ben, I'll tell you that. So, yeah, just in conclusion and in contusion. So, yeah, we're going to be putting things into the one-man show that has that have heretofore not been a part of it and continuing to, you know, experiment with it, man, because I just think there's too much to do than settle on one set script. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, if you change it too much, though, it's been successful, you know?
No. I'm not saying change it so that's not recognizable. I'm saying the basic format is there.
Are you gonna have? Are you still gonna have Bell introduce things?
I don't know. We may change that a little bit, but the fact is, it's not going to be a different narrative. It'll be the same, but there are going to be more elements in carrying it through. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, you know, what can I tell you? But it, you know, that's how I feel about that. So that's. One of many things we're thinking about as we come into these months, and then of course we have hopefully we're going to get nailed down.
Are you talking about that TV deal?
No, I'm not talking about anything. I mentioned this in the pre-show about a week or so ago when it first happened that we are in discussions right now with a production company. And we're definitely going to do a deal with them, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm not telling you what the show's about. I already have an idea for what it will be, and we're going to do our very best with it, and we're going to pitch it.
So Phil Hendry is back in the TV pilot business.
I wouldn't say that.
But it's a hell of a thing to be in the business of, huh? TV pilots. You know, what you want is a series, man. You want to get 13 and out, baby. Ain't that what they say?
13 and out? How about 13 and maybe,
Well, you want to get another deal for the second season. That's all that TV talk, isn't it?
Yes, that's what it is. Speaking of TV talk, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Harry Shearer is up for an Emmy, and that will be on Monday, the Emmys. And Harry Shearer is one of the all-time great voice actors and actors. Harry was in Spinal Tap. All of those films that included Michael McKean and Christopher Guest, Mighty Wind, For Your Consideration, Best in Show, on down the line. Funny, funny movies. And Harry, also a standout voice, an anchor voice, if you will, of The Simpsons. And this cat is up for an Emmy. And I think this is the first one that they've given for voice characters.
What do you mean by that?
By that, I mean this is the first Emmy I think they've given for a voice actor. And as we mentioned at the top of the hour, Peter Thomas, you know, I was watching that. Did you mention Peter Thomas?
I said Peter Thomas because I heard him narrating the Forensic Files, but he has nothing to do with Harry Shearer, and I don't know why you brought him up. And I think it darkens, or it stains, or if you will, it wipes with Harry's moment, you know?
Yeah, bringing up Peter Thomas is a very good point. Bringing up Peter Thomas is simply using Thomas as wipe to wipe Harry Shearer off of its...
You know what? You guys would take anything really cool and turn it into something nasty-ass, man.
Well, I mean, if it stands to reason.
Unfortunately, no, it doesn't stand to reason. Anyway, the best of luck to you, Harry, coming up on Monday. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We're going to be coming right back with more here right after this thing from Slipknot on the Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, of course, digital downloads 50% off at our website right now. Get a backstage pass. Just join us here for all of the... Talk about a world of talk about an explosion of weird. And,
talk about the world of a bitch, and truth is our Phil Hendry.
Yeah, and explosion of Phil Hendry.
Yeah,
truth is an explosion of weird Phil Hendry. Yeah, thank you.
This is General Galen Shaw. You're listening to the Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico, and this is Slipknot.
Woo!
the Phil Henry Show. It's called The Negative One. Mavis Leonard's going to join us, the aunt of our good close personal friend here, Robert Leonard. Thank you again to Jerry Markham there from Austin Bowl. Jerry, sorry that we had to conclude our interview with you, but I have a very cranky and childish panel.
No, Phil, that is not fair.
No, a very cranky and childish panel. And because Jerry had some surgery on his tongue, everybody's all...
You're making us sound like we're intolerant of people that are weirder than us, sir.
Yeah, we're intolerant of the crippled up.
Really? Well, let's get on Mavis Leonard, because she's going to talk to us about this ice bucket challenge. And that also has to do with people who have been affected in a terribly devastating way by Lou Gehrig's disease. Mavis, how are you? Mavis, how you doing, hon?
I'm very good, too. I can hardly hear you. I took up my phone, Robert.
No, don't. You got the phone company?
I called up the phone company. I also had your cousin call the phone company. And the phone company said they're going to work on it. I talked on a man on a 116, so that is.
Yeah, I got a call up the pair line.
I called that jackass up, and he said AT&T wire. I said, what are you trying to, you know?
Well, Mavis, we wanted to talk about this issue.
No, wait, hold on, Phil. You know, cool. I'm going to tell you something. I got something to say. You understand?
Go ahead, dear.
Now, I called up the AT&T wireless. They said you had gone over your data minutes. And
gone over the what?
Data minutes.
Gone over data minutes.
Yeah, and they cut my ass off. Excuse my friend. I'm very sorry, Phil. Excuse my name. They cut me off. And they said you are not allowed to have no more data minute. I'm texting back and forth. I'm updating a Facebook page. I got a lot of stuff I got to do, and AT&T cut me off, cut off a woman that I've tried so very hard in my life to raise people. Now I can't text. I tried to text Mary and Abney. You remember that man that they arrested? He climbed up on a stool behind a horse and tried to give it to a horse from the backside.
All right. You know, we're getting into some things here that are...
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about something that happened over here in I think it happened in Cali, Powwow, or back. What's the name of that town up there, Powwow?
No, man, it's Poway, Powwow.
No, it wasn't Poway. It was Calabunga.
Calabasas?
Calabasas. There you go. A man climbed up on a milking stool and tried to have it with a horse. Tried to have it sweet and tender with a horse. And
oh, my God, you're talking about bestiality.
I don't know what it's called. So I wanted to put that in the Mavis Leonard newsletter. Because, as you know, I have interesting tidbits that I send around to our senior citizens here in our neighborhood.
Oh, so you edit a newsletter?
Yeah, I do. I edit a newsletter, and I have interesting tidbits.
What, Mavis, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, can I finish here before you start in on your big monologue? Because I know that once you talk show hosts get going... Oh, Lord, you know, Thomas.
Yeah, you know what, Mavis, you're right. No stopping Henry today.
I've been listening.
You know what, I haven't been dominating the conversation that much. I've been making my points.
There you go, that much.
Yeah, I sound like you did a stutter step there, son. Let me finish here, son, and you can go ahead and you can bore people at the cow come home. I said to you, and I said to anyone that'll listen, is that I'm editing a news that I forgot what I was going to say.
You added a newsletter about a man got a milking stool behind a horse.
That's right. It's called Mavis Leonard Interesting Tidbit. And I got on a milking stool behind... I didn't get on a milking stool behind a horse. The man got on a milking stool behind me and...
Behind the horse, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Behind the horse. So I put that interesting tidbit. Now come AT&T Wireless said I gone over my data minute and they cut my ass off at the pass. Excuse my language, but I have to say it straight. And I got to give it clean, and I got to give it real. If I don't give it clean, straight, and real, God damn.
All right, Mavis, so far what I'm hearing here...
Yeah, let me... Mavis, dear, you have your data minutes with AT&T Wireless, right?
That's right, AT&T. And they cut me off. Lord.
All right, and they cut off your minutes when you went over. Did you get on the phone with him?
Yes, I got on the phone. I talked to this young man by the name of Roger, not Robert. If his name was Robert, I would have read. If his name was Robert, I would have hung up on him and kept calling back till I got somebody whose name didn't even start with an R.
Man, you're being very prejudiced against me just because I'm stupid some of the time.
Oh, God.
Woo!
You hear that? Stupid some of the time. Son, if you were only stupid some of the time, I'd give you the Nobel Peace Prize for dumb. Or at least not so. But you dumb most of the time. That's why I'm going to give you the Nobel Prize for dumbass with a big difference, all right?
All right, so nobody knows what that meant.
I know what it meant. You don't worry about being smart-ass with me.
I'm not being smart-ass. I'm determining here that after the AT&T wireless phone conversation, though, you got your minutes back?
Yeah, I got my minutes back. Because then your man said to me, oh, will you have a $500 bill with us? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, you know, that's a lot of money. I said, not for me then. He said, well, I said, let me tell you something, son. I use my data minutes because I do the Mavis Leonard interesting tidbit. Talk about a guy mounting a milking stool behind a horse.
You know, that's some weird stuff to be sending around on in a newsletter that's meant for senior citizens.
Well, that's what I do, Phil. And after we get done with that, we watch Don Berman with the Channel 19, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 10 o'clock at 11:30 report, because he's number one with women 75 plus.
I know, and he's sick to his stomach about it.
Well, I'm so sorry about that, Don, because without us, you'd be out on the street, man. He'd be walking around in a barrel. You love him? So without me, son, you eating out of a garbage can. You are in a garbage can, eating out of a garbage can, and you trying to tell me? I find that very insulting.
Well, Don Berman did say he didn't want that 75-plus demo.
Yep, Don, you should be happy with what you have. That's true. Now, there are desirable demographics in the ratings. 75-plus female, I suppose it could get worse.
Well, how much money do... It depends on how much money you spend.
I spend a hell of a lot of money. I just got none telling you. I spend $500 on my AT&T minutes. What the hell you think it is? I'm not cheaping it. I spend a hell of a lot of money on my cell service. And I'm here to tell you, and I spend it on AT&T wireless, and I'm here to tell you I don't like AT&T wireless. I'm going to get rid of that service. I'm going to go Verizon. I'll go to Sprint. I'll go to Sprint. I'll go to something that hasn't been invented yet. I'll get my cell service from Communist Chinese. I don't care anymore, but I will not have AT&T wireless tell me I can't text about some guy climbing up.
Yeah, I know, on a milking stool behind a horse that you put into the... And by the way, could we get a copy of this?
You want Mavis Leonard interesting tidbit?
Yeah, I'll get you a copy, Mr. Leonard.
Yeah, we'd love to read your interesting tidbit newsletter. Do you have anything to say about the events of the world, Mavis? I think we've pretty well covered Ferguson. Do you have any... other than your AT&T wireless bill, do you have any other news stories or events that you'd like to cover?
No, I don't have nothing to cover. They called me up and said, Robert, said, will you come on? And Mr. Henry, won't you talk about Ferguson? I said, I ain't going to talk about that. I hear everybody else. He said, what about ISIS? I said, I don't know what that is, and I don't give a damn. And he said about that man got the head cut off. I said, I don't know what that is. I don't give a damn. And then he said, you want to talk about... And I said, I don't know what that is. I don't give a damn.
In other words, you didn't even let him get out of his mouth what it was that he wanted you to talk about.
That's exactly right. I talk about what I want to talk about, and that AT&T wireless bill.
All right. Well, Mavis, thank you. And unfortunately, we have to go and do something else. I don't know what it's going to be, but this show is rapidly going into the toilet. Wouldn't you agree, bud?
Oh, yeah. No question.
So.
Well, that's not my fault. I told you that I'd be on here. I'd be happy to bail your ass out, Phil. But so I got to get some phone service. Okay.
They're reconnecting the phone?
They said they're going to and they have reconnected the phone, but now I hear clicks and all. I think they're eavesdropping on me. You know, and I think they're going to steal half the stuff I put in interesting tidbits.
All right, well, you get that interesting tidbits published, and that's for the neighborhood, elderly, all of your friends?
Yeah, these are my girlfriend. What's wrong with that?
It's wild stuff to be put into that newsletter, but hey, you know your readership better than I do. Mavis, thanks a lot for being with us, okay?
All right, and Robert, that guy with AT&T is going to call back. You come on, you take care of it.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll take the call.
No, I just want you to answer the phone, then give it to me. I don't want you saying anything to him other than hello.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, thank you, Phil.
Thank you, bye-bye. Well, your aunt really...
Yeah, she knows a lot about it. She treats me like I'm dumbass.
Well, you act like a dumbass laying around watching Animal Planet.
It ain't Animal Planet, man. Call Animal Planet.
You still laying around her house watching Animal Planet?
I watched the Puppy Bowl there 2 years running, and she said I was laying around watching Animal Planet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. So,
I got my own place, man. I got my own business, you know.
Robert inherited three service stations. Did you just get that from your brother?
Yeah, my brother gave me two of them. He got three of them.
because Robert's father was the owner of a number of service stations in Los Angeles. And how many were there total?
Boom, in Southern California, we had like four in downtown, around downtown in the L.A. corridor, and we had two more in Orange County in a city of commerce.
City of commerce. So your brother got three and you got three?
Yeah.
Man, that's great. That's great. I mean, but that's got to be a long day, huh?
No, you know, I got some people now. We got to work that. My father worked the whole business model out. But right now we're managing it, and we got to expand. I don't know whether I want to put a car wash in.
Yeah, put a car wash in?
Yeah.
You ought to let us do a remote broadcast from the opening of the car wash.
No, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, first of all, car washes, that takes the more overhead. It's a very expensive investment in equipment. But I see more and more of these service stations converting over to combo, you know. So I think we might have a self-serve.
Oh, the kind you just drive through and the machine does it.
Yeah, I'm not going to hire a whole bunch of guys standing around waiting for tip money.
You know, I got to tell you, when it comes to car washes, I like the hand wash thing.
What do you mean by hand wash?
Yeah, could you clarify?
I'm talking about a car. Oh, my God.
Look, Henry, if you say hand wash in this crowd, brother, they'll only think the worst. Their minds go straight into the sewer.
Hand wash, as in the guys are washing the car. They've got two kinds of car washes, you know, when it comes to, I shouldn't say when it comes to driving through. They're the kind that have the machines, and then there's the kind that are the machines.
Yeah, they've got like a machine, and they have humans, and then they have the machine, and humans will dry it, and then they just have the machine, and there ain't no human.
Yeah. Most of the time, if I just need the outside of the car washed, I'll drive it through one of those drive-thrus.
Yes, it takes about 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. You go up to the guy, say, I'd like this kind of wash. You give him the money, bang, the car goes through. But when you need to get the interior done...
Well, you've got to take it to one of those other ones, right?
Yeah, and it depends on which one. There are some that are very expensive. And when I say very expensive, maybe they're not. I don't know. It's like $30, but you get the whole interior done by, the guys.
Well, there's a whole team of people. Is that what you're talking about, Robert?
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that, man. It's too many people, you know. I would rather have just one of those drive-through ones.
Yeah, that sounds like what most of those gas stations have. You have a little tiny gas station, and oh, yeah, you can go get the car. I think those are really convenient.
Yeah, except that they bust and everything. One time my mom was going through one, and it busted.
What do you mean it busted?
She's in the middle of it, and the thing's just going on and on and on. Then it didn't even do anything. She had to she had to drive out and almost wreck the car.
That happened to me one time. I was over here at some car wash on Victoria, and I really needed the car washed, and I got into this long line, and I didn't want to use this car wash because it had broken down once before, so it's my own damn fault. But anyway, I got into this car wash, and sure enough, man, right in the middle of the cycle, it just, I forget what it did, it stopped, because I know I was able to get out of, actually, I was able to drive my car out of there.
Well, aren't they say you can't drive the car out, though, can you?
No, you can drive it out. I mean, what happened was, is that it just stopped. It didn't cycle into the next phase or something. So I drove the car out of there. I was really pissed off because I was late for something. I'd already spent my money. I wasn't going to stand around and get my money back because there was a line of other people. But I just told them, you know, your car wash is busted.
Well, knowing you, Phil, you did more than just say your car. You probably went, hey, you jack jive ass. You know,
maybe I did. I didn't yell and scream, but I was pissed. And, you know.
Well, hopefully that's not going to happen. Well, there's all kinds of equipment you can buy, and there's different companies, and you grade the companies on the equipment you buy.
Well, you have to build an entire addition to the car wash, right?
Yeah, so we're looking at the properties to see which ones we can use and where the traffic is. We got one service station, a very, very busy corner, and we get a lot of traffic in there.
You got a lot of cars in there and stuff, but you won't have those high school car washes. Those chicks stand... Well, I better not say.
Nah, you better not say. Okay.
Yeah, Irwin's in the bathing suit, though.
Hey, listen, Dickman, you're not going to be looking at some little high school chick in a bathing suit and getting all weird, are you? Because, brother, that is going to be the end of you and me. You die, I'm in prison. I'm General Galen Shaw.
All right, thank you very much, General. It's time now for another break here on the Phil Henry Show. So when you get that car wash put in, Robert, well, let's just talk to you about us, doing a show from the opening of the Robert Leonard Car Wash, huh?
Well, you can do a remote broadcast, though.
Yeah, we did. Doing a remote broadcast from the opening of a car wash is right up my alley.
Oh, I love this. Do, 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 do. Man of the Year. This is Schoolboy Q. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay!
Oh, that Man of the Year.
Man of the Brass. Home of the party in the trees. Sunny let land of the G's. Please let a nigga breathe. Tank top, top down for the breeze. Burnt lips, got a blood full of weed. Peace, love in the means. Nigga, I ain't come for the beef. You ain't no sheep. Came for the speed. Got bite for the cheeks. Nigga, I'm the life for the beat. Fuck that, this shit gotta eat. Bop, bounce for the crown. You be hating and I still hold it down. When you round, man, the girls never lounge. Man, I heard you a hound. Rap, man, that bitch need a pound. Tip, 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 bounce out of gown. Hands tied to the sound. Yeah, yeah, I'm the rich nigga now. Bitch, I'm the talk of the town. Make a bitch run the mouth. Yeah, yeah, go south for the boy. Pop, 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 down to the floor. Bounce, bounce.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The final moment here on the show. I thought Mavis was going to talk about this.
I don't know, man. Talk about AT2Ls.
Well, you know this Ice Bucket Challenge, very, very well-meaning charitable effort to benefit research into a cure for ALS, otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease. A Kentucky firefighter remains in critical condition today and his partner in stable condition after an ALS Ice Bucket Challenge gone horribly awry. Let's see. Campbellsville Fire Department Captain Tony Grider, 41, was in critical condition at the University of Louisville Hospital, according to Kentucky.com. Firefighter Simon A. Quinn was in stable condition. The two firefighters were rushed to the hospital Thursday after being seriously injured when electricity from a high-voltage line arced into the holder of a fire truck, or excuse me, the ladder of a fire truck they were using in the student fundraising event at Campbellsville University. Good God.
Well, these are firefighters. Don't you think they should be more intelligent?
Well, wait. You know, they got to do an investigation of this, Margaret. Let's not start judging people right off the bat. For God's sake.
Hey, look at Fendry. Did I just call you Fendry?
Yeah, you did.
I like that better than Phil Hendry. Look, Fendry.
I like Hendry.
All right, Hendry. I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. We're going to talk about how that's all we do around here.
Yeah, we're always forming conclusions about stuff, being ignorant and everything.
Oh, well, thank you. We're always being ignorant, huh?
Well, it is true, Phil. It is our job. It's our job to report and to make a split-second decision on what our opinion will be, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Whether I'm right.
All right, now look, Mark.
Oh, well, hold on. You told me that when I feel the inspiration, whether I'm right or... Do you know what I mean by that, Phil, when I say whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong? Whether I find a place in this world and never belong, I've got to be me? You know that, right?
Yeah, sure, I know that.
Well, Phil, she's making a point. You know, that she's got to be her.
I've got to be her. I mean, I've got to be me. What I'm saying is, right or wrong, good or bad, I have to be me. I have to give you the opinion what I got to give. I mean, I've got to give you the opinion that I need to give. And I think that is the opinion that all of us should have. And,
what are you stalling for?
I'm looking for that song.
Get out of here looking for the song.
Isn't that the song by, what's his name, Savvy?
That's Sammy Clooney Jr.
Oh, no, it's Rosemary Clooney.
It wasn't Rosemary Clooney, it was Sammy Davis Jr.
I'm sorry, it was Rosemary. Well, it was Sammy Clooney. No, you're right, Phil is right. I'm sorry.
How do you get Sammy Clooney out of that?
I was thinking of Rosemary Clooney. All right. Rosemary Clooney, George Clooney, Nick Clooney. It is a hell of a family, one hell of a showbiz family.
Well, that's nice, but Rosemary Clooney didn't do I Gotta Be Me. That was done by Sammy Davis Jr., and it's one of the bigger hits that man had, and a damn good song it was. Sammy Davis Jr.'s I Gotta Be Me. I don't even know if we got that song, but we can certainly look for it. Do you want to sing it?
I do want to sing it. I think it's a song that we all should know, and by the way, it's a great song. It tells us who we are and what we are and what we should be.
If we're Sammy Davis Jr.
Yes, if we're Sammy Davis Jr., it would tell us what to be and who to be. I don't know, Phil. I'm just saying I think it's a very, very worthy song and one that should be sung, and so I will do it right now.
Yeah, that took a lot of time. Next time during the break, get the song, okay, bud?
I was looking for it the whole time.
Whether I'm right
or whether I'm wrong,
whether I'm find a place in this world or never belong.
I gotta be me.
That's fine.
I gotta be me.
What else can I be but what I am?
And what are you?
I am what do you mean, what am I? Who am I? I'm Margaret Gray.
I want to live.
That nearly survive. Oh, for God's sake.
He has a right to sing it.
Give up this dream.
Give life to keep me alive. I gotta be. Would you please, in the name of everything holy, in the name of civilization, shut it.
I gotta be me. The dream that I see.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on the Sideshow Network. God damn.
The of success is waiting for me if I heed the call. I won't settle down, won't settle for less, as long as there's a chance. Alone, that's how it must be. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I gotta be free. I've gotta be free. Daring to try to do it or die. Somebody else, if I'm not right for me.